Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your lovely, bubbly host, Matthew Olenchak. Joined as always by my rootin' tootin' work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm doing well. How are you, hon?
Kind of tired. I was up all night watching Card Tricks.
Been there.
I was up till 5 a.m. just watching Magic Tricks.
I was up until 2 a.m. watching Clue, so.
That's good. See, that's worth it. You're doing. I was just like this one guy, he had the deck. I'm going to describe the magic trick. It's going to be so interesting. And he kept like throwing out all the aces.
Yeah.
But while shuffling it. And he's like, I wasn't focusing on the aces. He flips it over and spreads it out and it's in order. I think if a woman came up to me and did like a card trick, be hard as a rock. Do you have this experience? Is this relatable?
Yes, actually, I was just waiting. Yes, I've not gotten an autism diagnosis. However, the Christmas break of my freshman year of high school, I taught myself so many magic tricks, and I taught myself how to one-hand cut. Truly just like in my room alone with a deck of cards.
With School of Rock just playing on repeat.
Honestly, maybe.
There's some people that don't need a diagnosis.
And I still know how to one-hand cut. I've forgotten most of the magic tricks, but I do know how to one-hand
cut. Despite my great love of cards. Games, I'm incapable of shuffling, and maybe that's why I seek a partner who does magic tricks to complement my skills.
In order for my grandparents to love and be proud of me, I needed to do one of two things, and it's learn the Ohio State fight song or learn how to play euchre really well. And I don't know the Ohio State fight song, so I learned how to shuffle very quickly.
That's such specific demands.
I was like five, genuinely like five. So when all of my friends
what
in
is
high
euchre?
School, it's a card game where you play with half the deck. And you play with like trumps, and I will show it's hard to explain.
It's like cribbage. I don't fully understand what cribbage is.
I have never played cribbage. It's kind of like spades, but not entirely. People who play spades and euchre like hardcore will get mad at that. But when all of my friends in high school were getting into it, like our sophomore year, I had a decade on them, so I just creamed.
You had a phase at your school where everyone was getting into euchre.
All of the guys got into euchre. I'm not allowed to get into euchre anymore because I get too competitive and it will take over my life. Not a joke. It will get to the point where I will be playing four hands by myself and I will get mad at the opposing team, who is me, because I know what the correct play here is and I have to play it knowing they can trump me.
I'm still like hung up on the fact that your high school had a euchre fad. Like
basically
sophomore
year,
everyone was getting into like Four Loko.
I mean, I didn't start drinking. I mean, a little bit in high school, not really. I didn't really start drinking until just after graduation. But yeah, we got really into euchre, and I would get very, very angry. And at one point, I'm basically banned from playing it with family. Because at one point, my brother had who is a very like not strategic player. He's a very wild,
yeah.
Like he relies so much on luck. And so when he does get lucky, it makes me so angry because I'm a very conservative euchre player. And at one point, this is Thanksgiving. This is the first Thanksgiving I brought Neve over. We had been together a month at that point. By the way, yes, way too soon. But like we'd been together like a month. That I brought her to Thanksgiving, and she had never seen this side of me, where it's my cousin Josh and I are partners, and then my mom and my brother are partners, and my brother trumps me, and I turn and he euchres us and gets the 2 points, and I turn to him and I say, I understand the mom and dad were struggling financially when they were pregnant with you, but I guarantee you they could have scrambled together $437. My mom just yelled, "Harrison," and I turned to her and I was like, "So $437?" And she's like, "Do not finish that sentence."
This is such a weird.
I get competitive, dude. Of you. I get
unaware of.
I get competitive about like two things. I'm also this way about chess, but I don't care enough about chess to get better at it. I care enough about euchre to get better at it. I think it's because it was so directly connected to my grandparents' love.
I have to say, like, I didn't know I knew someone who played euchre until you told me this. There's a town where everyone was into euchre. Your whole family's playing it.
Yeah, all the guys, I don't know how they learned it, but all the guys just sophomore year decided they learned euchre. And
it's like, our Thanksgivings, we mostly make fun of my dying grandfather.
Our Thanksgivings, we play euchre, and I mean, we make fun of each other, but like, nah, like, yeah, we'll play euchre.
What did Geneva say?
She was just shocked that, like, she'd never, I don't remember exact verbiage, but she was just shocked.
Was she letting you play euchre? Or she banned it?
I don't know.
So I'm going to start leaving decks of cards at your house.
Oh, I have. I'll bring it. I have a euchre deck in my game cabinet right now. A proper euchre deck, by the way.
Yeah, well, I was about to ask.
Which means it's half the deck where... and flipped over. And so it's two backs if you were to look at it like a deck, where the half the deck is completely white and new and untouched, and the other half is just black around all the cards because they've had so much use on the card table. That's how a real euchre deck should be played. You need to break it in.
This is, I think, maybe the most aggressive opinion I've ever seen you have. The way you said a real euchre deck was possibly, like, that's the closest to, like, contemptuous I've ever seen you get towards anything. It's like how I will be, like, that way towards someone's, like, favorite Dr. Pepper spinoff.
Yeah.
Like, that's you and euchre.
Yeah. If you ever want to see me legitimately get mad at family and,
as
like...
I do, always.
Yeah, if you ever want to see me legitimately intense, put me in front of a, like, even low stakes. Family Thanksgiving is probably as low stakes as...
I'm getting a euchre deck for my Christmas party.
So it's a regular deck of cards, but you only use 9 and up. And then you use the 6 and 4 of... You can do either or. I do spades and hearts as scorecards. But you only use 9 and up. And that's the euchre deck.
Does Geneva play euchre?
No.
You consider that a failing?
No.
Thought maybe you're like... She's like cooking dinner and she's like... She's boiling an egg. And she's like, "Our egg's almost done, Harrison." This is how I imagine your dinners go. And you're just like sitting on the couch, shuffling a deck, half a deck, staring at her like, "It's great, honey."
No.
You're going to like... Euchre Cupid.
Sure.
the dating website for euchre players. And you're starting emotional affairs. Because you're not meeting up with them. You're just playing online euchre with them.
I used to play online euchre. Jesus. I would also play... I used to have a euchre app on my laptop. Not my laptop. On my tablet. And I had to take it off.
I'm a competitive person. I'm not sure I've ever got that competitive about anything where I had to stop doing it.
I'm not a competitive person.
I know, that's what's wild. Like I enjoy any game of Warhammer, but if I'm losing, I'm like... Mm.
If I'm losing a game of euchre, I am furious. Depends. Am I losing because I am getting outplayed? I am frustrated at myself. If I am losing because my brother keeps getting lucky, I want to hit him. I want to hit him so bad.
I'm going to somehow manage to set up a euchre game for you where I'm playing, and it's going to all be hot babes who know magic tricks, and so they're constantly cheating. You can't prove it because they're too good at magic. Just to watch you get like incandescently rageful towards these hot magician babes I found on Rabbit, the dating app for magicians.
I don't know. I'm a little bit competitive in comedy, but not as angry competitive, but more like obviously I want to be the best, and some nights I am type thing. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty good most of the time. I'm not anyway. I I have a very healthy view of where my skill level is, and that is pretty good most of the time.
Except for Euchre, where you must reign supreme.
Euchre, I get. Yeah, it's bad.
I don't think I've ever seen Euchre played. I don't think I've ever been in a room where Euchre's been played.
Okay.
I go as far to say. I've never touched cards and may have once played Euchre. I forgot about Euchre until you brought it up.
Oh, did I? What? Oh, you brought up magic tricks and I brought up Euchre. I was like, how did we get to this?
That's not how I would spell it at all. I thought it was spelled more like a town in Alaska.
Euchre, I think.
Apparently it was considered the national card game of the United States.
As it should be. It's still...
It has a decline in popularity, though it retains a strong following in regions such as the Midwestern United States.
It is the national card game of the Midwest. Yes.
Apparently it's also Canada's national card game.
Oh, nice.
So maybe we need to send you up to Canada.
We'll
do like a $1 million baby, but it's Euchre.
Oh, dude. I have often... Listen. There are... If there was any, I actually haven't done that much research into this, but if there's any real money into this, I would consider dropping everything that I've spent the last decade of my life working towards.
There's money in cornhole these days. There's got to be money in Euchre.
But how much money is the thing, and how good do you have to be? Like I'm pretty good, but like. I'm also, my biggest flaw as a Euchre player is that I am far too conservative.
Oh, look at that. There's a huge room of people. Oh, he can win a belt. Look at that. He's got the World Euchre belt. Oh,
I'm so jealous.
You could beat these guys.
Maybe someday.
Everyone in this picture looks exactly as I imagine a Euchre player to look.
I haven't played in a couple years. I'm a little rusty. I would need to play a few hands.
We need
hands.
To get you back into it. We're going to train you up. We're going to develop your Euchre style. Like how poker players have a style, we're gonna start slicking back your hair, and you're gonna wear like a jacket with the elbow pads, like a professor. We're gonna get you a doctor in something easy, and then we can call you the Doctor of Euchre.
Okay.
And you're like, I'm Dr. Poole, and I'll be your opponent tonight. We'll have you like big chains,
yeah.
Big old watch. This is how I imagine a Euchre player to look. And you're like stroll up with escorts to this like Midwest.
The Amazonian Guard.
Yeah, the Amazonian Guard will be deployed to escort you to like a Midwestern, like a Great Bear Lodge or something where they're hosting this.
So instead of, we switch from a movie podcast / comedy podcast to just a straight up analytics of the card game.
Yeah, we're just leaving the podcast industry. We're becoming professional. I'm your manager. We're becoming a professional Euchre team.
I'm in.
It's going to get shady. It's gonna become a movie in like 20 years because I'm gonna be like putting like plutonium and like drinks, taking out the opponents, making them sick. It's gonna be like, what's the movie War Dogs? Is that the one with
Miles Teller?
Yeah. It's like that, but it's Euchre.
Okay.
And we eventually do get arrested by like the FBI for massive Euchre fraud.
This is just like, this will be like when I relapsed from alcohol, I might still someday, who knows? But like when I relapsed from alcohol and people would just find me in my room drunk, you open and you find me in my dark room and I'm playing all four hands.
I was imagining the alcohol. See, I was picturing a scene where like, you're like shuffling down the streets, drinking like a bottle of like vodka.
Oh,
falling out of your pocket.
I fully downward spiral.
Yeah. Cards are like falling out of your pockets, like the gamblers playing over the scene.
So,
but like a punk rock version of Kenny Rogers, the Gambler.
By Screeching Weasel.
Yeah.
We need to make this happen.
We just need a deck of cards and a bottle of vodka. It's like, what, $10?
We should film a documentary while it's happening. We should film like an ESPN 30 for 30 style documentary as it's happening. Or like a Dark Side of the Ring.
I want you to have the fucking swagger that bowler players do.
Okay.
Or like darts players.
Yes.
Like this, have you ever watched the videos of the darts players just saying outrageous fucking shit? Where they're like, I am the devil and God runs from me. You wish you were me. It's like, buddy, you're like,
you see me, I
I want you to have the unearned confidence of someone who considers themselves an athlete but is in no way athletic, is in fact really out of shape and close to a heart attack, but because you go to like a tournament, you're like, I'm an athlete.
So I need to get fatter for
this. You need to get fatter.
Okay, so I need to keep eating more or as much as I'm eating,
yeah,
but also start drinking again.
Yeah, and less movement, because all you do is the cards. You can have like a really fancy cane mobility aid to get around. It's gonna be real fancy. It's gonna have a huge ball on top. Inside is gonna be like a card.
I'm gonna lose an important. I'm gonna be like 8-10 or 8-8, and someone's gonna euchre me at some important tournament, and then I'm gonna be like Bradley Cooper and burnt when he loses the Michelin star, go away, and then the very next scene I come back and I'm just stumbling drunk, trying to kill myself with like a card box, like a giant card box over my head.
I think this will be good for everyone involved in your life. I think everyone will love it.
You see me in my room, and I'm just like slitting my arms with the knife cards. Like I buy knife cards.
Oh, I just imagine like the actual cards. So like you're not.
Oh, that too.
You're nowhere near close to dying.
No, absolutely not. No, never mind. I like yours better.
You just have so many papers.
I went too dark. I like yours better. I just have the most minor scratches.
Geneva's gonna leave you over this.
Oh, 100%. She'll leave me for the drinking, but she might leave me for the.
It's gonna be like one of the down points in your story is when you like win a tournament and drunkenly you start assaulting the camera recording it, yelling at Geneva.
This is who you left.
The fucking king. And then you have your heart attack.
You could have had a champion.
And that's when you have your heart attack. Like live on television.
We have our fight, and she's like, it's me or the cards. And I'm like, the only, you're not the queen of hearts to me anymore. Like, let's make this happen, please.
It's my dream. Speaking of dreams, did you know that in fact, I learned today, the new DC universe exists in many Americans' dreams? 9/11 didn't happen.
Oh, what?
James Gunn said 9/11, quote, it's a weird quote, didn't happen yet.
Wait, so is James Gunn gonna make 9/11 happen?
I hope Plastic Man's, when we get a Plastic Man movie, it's a 9/11 movie and he disguises himself as a box cutter.
Or, so I haven't seen Superman yet. Does it take place in 2025?
I'm pretty sure it takes place modern time.
Or does it take place in like 99?
It definitely takes place either a bit in the future or a bit in the past or now. It's like 3 years either way.
So basically when they were filming.
Yeah, it's like blatantly modern. But yeah, 9/11 apparently did not happen in this universe.
So, okay.
I don't think he's considered the implications of this. I will write a strongly worded letter if Twilight or 50 Shades of Grey, is it all mentioned?
What wouldn't exist in this world?
The war on terror.
Yeah.
Arguably, I don't think Obama would be a president.
I agree with that. If Obama's not okay, this is comic books where, like, the president is... Lex Luthor is the president.
No.
Or he will be. He is in one of the runs, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He often becomes it, but I'm not sure if he's going to become it in this. I don't think they're focusing on the president as a concept.
Oh, not yet.
You see a lot of, like, governments, but I don't think they've mentioned the president. Even, like, saying the word, the president. It's just there's the American government.
Okay.
So I don't think they're focusing on that. I don't know. That is such a crazy design decision to make. Does that mean if we go to New York, we're going to see the Twin Towers? Are you going to create the Twin Towers for us to see? It's one of those things where, like, a director, I really respect James Gunn, and I know he's probably going to do the correct choice of, I'm just not going to touch on it. I just made a statement, and that's my statement, which I do respect. In anyone else's less skilled hands, though, it's a thing where it's like, I'm going to casually say something didn't happen, and it's like, that, you can't do that unless that's what you're you can't make a movie where Pearl Harbor didn't happen unless that's what your movie's about.
This is insane.
Isn't it? He just like tweeted it too, I think.
Oh, he didn't say it in an interview?
He might have said it in an interview, but it might have also just been, it's an insane thing to drop. You can do that at Marvel. No one at Marvel has that power to take 9/11 away.
Not even the Russo brothers.
But like a capricious god. He just snapped his fingers and said, no more 9/11.
So, okay. So if 9/11, let's thought experiment.
Yeah.
9/11 doesn't exist in Marvel. So all of those movies are, first off, entirely different. But let's say 9/11 doesn't exist in Marvel, and those movies still happen the way they do. What's the new cause?
I mean, Winter Soldier doesn't happen.
No.
There isn't that fucking administrative state. There isn't that intelligence state at that point to sustain, like, that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s cribbing from in that movie.
The first, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist. The first Avengers doesn't happen.
Iron Man doesn't happen. Who's he selling those weapons to?
Captain America doesn't get unfrozen.
I think they just find him.
But it's like S.H.I.E.L.D., which is like Homeland, finds him. So just a different department finds
him? Yeah, because someone just... I'm not sure S.H.I.E.L.D. finds him. I think S.H.I.E.L.D. thaws him out. But someone just like finds him in the Arctic.
Okay.
I think it was just like an Arctic explorer. But like Iron Man doesn't exist. Who's he fucking selling weapons to? Hulk probably doesn't exist. Why would they be trying to make a super soldier serum?
To think... This is... James Gunn is just not just. James Gunn just J.K. Rowling'd the DCEU. Like, finding out wizards don't shit.
They do shit.
They do shit.
They just make it go away. Yeah, they make it go away.
Yeah.
They just shit on the ground and they go whoop-a-doop.
So 9/11 didn't happen. Like,
don't. It's amazing. I hope he explores it. I hope it isn't a pathway comment. I hope he, like... gets into the elbow deep into a world where 9/11 doesn't exist, and what does that mean for the world and America at large?
James Gunn, if you're listening, do never clarify your statement. Never touch on your statement. Continue to make wild tweets. Please be the J.K. Rowling of DCEU without the transphobia.
I want 3 DC movies where the Twin Towers are almost destroyed.
I want them to do the Martin Scorsese Gangs of New York, just in modern day, where they show the end of the movie with the New York skyline, but the Twin Towers are
they're
still
just
there.
In the back constantly. Every scene they show of New York, you see the Twin Towers. Like, it's like they're watching a news report about New York City, and it's just a screenshot of the Twin Towers. Just so you know, they're there. 9/11 hasn't happened yet.
It's the yet that gets me.
Like, he has a plan. He's gonna do 9/11 the movie.
He's gonna make the movie you want to get.
It's already happened though, because it hasn't happened. That had to be a prequel where we see why 9/11 didn't happen. Because my movie is an entirely separate movie, and the last 5 minutes you find out, because of the events of the movie, 9/11 didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
9/11's not referenced at all for the rest of the movie. It is the last 5 minutes. Maybe last 3 minutes. Possibly the last 30 seconds. You realize it's that the movie means 9/11 didn't happen.
We'll get more into the movie later. But you want the clue ending, where like the killer is revealed, and you get like 2.5 minutes, and then
but
everything's so abrupt.
Yeah, but it's suddenly
you want it to be so jarring.
The audience is punched in the face that 9/11 isn't happening.
So I think you basically make American Alien. James Gunn adapts Superman American Alien, but at the very end he is on the flight with the terrorist attacks, and because he's super, that's his moment where he has to reveal to the public that he is Superman, is he has to stop 9/11 from happening.
I think Superman wouldn't reveal his identity. He would just sit patiently as the plane crashed. He'll be fine.
Okay, but other people wouldn't be.
You know, I think it should be another superhero. I think it should be, he should bring in like a real out there hero, like the cowboy from Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
Let's make a Jonah Hex movie where he stops 9/11.
Yes, I'm on board. I will fund that Kickstarter.
I want Osama bin Laden to be there. Just Osama bin Laden. Put him in a mech suit. I want him to fight Osama bin Laden in like a Luther Corp Lex suit that he stole.
How do we get the funding for this? First, who do we email?
Well, your Euchre winnings.
Oh, yeah, my Euchre winnings. But who do we email?
When you pass away because of your fourth Euchre-related heart attack, I'm going to take your fortune and use it to make the Jonah Hex 9/11 movie in your memory.
So, and at the very end, it's dedicated to Harrison.
Dedicated to the king, to the Euchre King, Harrison Euchre King Pool. Maybe a picture of you and like your wooden wheelchair that you get around in because you're like 600 pounds. You're 700 pounds and you have a euchre themed wheelchair you go around in. The back looks like a card.
So I love this. Does the heart attack happen from euchre or from being 600 pounds and drunk all the time?
I think it's a combination.
Okay, but on the autopsy, let's say heart attack caused by euchre?
Yeah.
Or caused by stress from euchre game?
I think the last one's euchre.
Oh, okay. The big one?
Yeah, the fifth one. You have five heart attacks. You're pulling a Dick Cheney here. You have to get a heart replacement. It doesn't matter. You still go out. Because you're like the euchre king.
I get a one shot Jonah Hex crossover.
It's like Elon Musk in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
That's you. This massive guy constantly shoving a cart, like decks of cards in his hands. Geneva!
Oh, that'll be, yes, my that'll be my rosebud.
I think they'll let you finally win the big game, or you finally lose the big game. Like, you tell like some upstart Zoomer kid, broccoli hair, and he goes, Labadoo, and it upsets you so greatly. Like, you start thrashing, you try to fight him, you fall out of your chair. You manage with a great effort to get on your back, you're flailing cards over you, spilled alcohol, and you're like, Geneva!
See,
and
in my head, it's the Citizen Kane thing, where I just finally drop a deck of cards, it spreads, and the only card face up is the Queen of Hearts from our argument earlier.
Geneva.
Yes.
Why was he obsessed with Switzerland? What's going on there? Do they like euchre there a lot or something? Fucking weird.
I should look up what other countries play euchre. I could be like the people who play basketball professionally for like Germany or some shit.
To another country.
It's way too competitive to play euchre professionally in the US. So I have to go to like Switzerland.
You go to like Belgium.
I need Dr. Pepper to sponsor
me. When you gain all the weight in Belgium.
Oh, sure.
Because you're way, you're just thinking about Geneva. You don't have a support net. I'm just poisoning people. I'm not providing a very good supply, like support net for you. I'm more trying to make sure our winnings go up. Imagine your media appearances. So you're just sitting there, just surrounded by like pretzels and beer, just constantly shuffling cards at 6 a.m. Just Queen of Hearts.
What's the title of this stuff? So, okay, we've totally lost the plot. If this is a documentary or a film,
I think it's the euchre king.
It can be both. It's called the euchre king.
I'm imagining the biop.
Okay,
you're played by a 50-year-old. It's way in the future. So you're played by a 50-year-old Timothy Chalamet in what will be considered a very controversial fat suit.
Oh, he will Brendan Fraser to death.
He's going to put Brendan Fraser to shame. It's going to be offensive. Because you put a twink in a fat suit and then just have him shuffling cards in the ground, shoving pretzels in his mouth, just fucking like mustard and salt everywhere, going, Geneva, Queen of Hearts. Just farting constantly. It's going to be like you took the Jack Black movie in a movie from Tropic Thunder and then put that character in a serious biop.
It's Kevin Smith's turn into like serious filmmaking.
Yeah.
Not like his horror stuff was more serious.
It's like an Oppenheimer level film, but it's you just constantly covered in mustard and salt. Your cards are sticking together.
Kevin Smith is at this point Martin Scorsese age.
Yeah.
And he's
he's gonna direct this.
The Euchre King, Kevin Smith film.
Yeah, the Euchre King. It's gonna win Best Picture, despite the controversy amongst who's gonna play Geneva. Who's gonna play me and who's gonna play Geneva? Because 50-year-old Timothy Chalamet in a fat suit. That's you.
Florence Pugh plays Geneva, or Rachel Sennett plays Geneva. No, Geneva would be young.
Geneva has to be
young. So that person hasn't been born yet. Unless we want to have like a flash forward years later.
We don't
know. Where she's at my funeral.
We don't know who's going to play Geneva.
Who plays you?
Right? Huh. It's got to be someone who's our age now, so they can be appropriately aged then.
Do you want to be played by Matt Woods, who played Belushi in Saturday Night?
I kind of do. Fuck, he should play you, though. Timothy Chalamet will play me. You.
Matt Woods plays
in a grotesque pantsuit, plays you. Because you are 700 pounds, you can't leave your wheelchair, really. You have a card table on it.
All we need to do right now to get this done is to ruin my life.
I just have this image of like a really nice hotel, but it's trashed, and you're just parked in your wheelchair in the middle of it with your tray, just going, just playing euchre against yourself endlessly.
There's one scene where I'm like leaned over, and you think that it's like this furious like masturbation loneliness scene, yeah. And it flips, it's and I'm just shuffling cards.
School of Rock just playing on the TV on repeat. Can we get Jack Black to play you?
Jack Black should play me. I mean, this is how Jack Black can play me at one point. We do the Bob Dylan biopic thing where different actors play me at different points in life. That's all good. Of them in grotesque fat suits.
Increasingly grotesque. I'm imagining like what's the sister show?
The sister show?
There's a show with two big, like imagine that level. Like you've just completely gone up. You're fueled by, you're only consumed vodka and Belgian pretzels and waffles. There's a lot of waffles too. You've just gone full like, you just, all you do when you're not, all he does when he's not playing euchre is sit in his hotel room eating like 10 course meals playing euchre with himself. Like that's all you do. It reaches Rain Man-esque levels.
Do I die? So there's the final scene.
Yeah.
Or not the final scene, but there's the tournament. I have the heart attack at the tournament and I die in the hospital. Or do I die at the tournament?
I think you die live television.
Okay. So I still have to play out and drop the cards because I always have a spare deck in my...
You have like five sets of decks. Yeah. And they're all on your wheelchair. You have a little card tray there. Like, while you're playing euchre, you're also playing a game against yourself. It's consumed you completely. The last tenth of the movie, your only dialogue is euchre terms. Pretzel.
I am... Okay, I love that you've just decided pretzels are the food that I'm going to kill myself on.
It's a good card game food. You have like pretzels like laced into your fingers, but you're so good at euchre you can still play while the pretzels on your fingers.
Personally, I am terrified of this future.
It's possibly one of the worst fates any human being will ever suffer.
But if I were a man who desired a legacy, this would be my legacy.
It's your legacy. And the people go to see the movie and they're like, what the fuck's euchre?
And you just have this weird, like, in the movie, it's like 4 minutes. But in real life, it was like 8 years. This stint where it's like he didn't play euchre, he did stand-up comedy. Yeah. And then he got back on the horse.
Back on that damn euchre horse.
And I just get texts from my comedian friends like, missed you at the last mic. Where have you been? Haven't seen you in a while.
Queen of Hearts.
And I just text like, gotta play.
Gotta play.
I go through a phase really early on where I adopt this like grindset, don't gotta stay ready, or don't gotta get ready if you stay ready. And then by the end, I am just like, I am
slovenly.
Like, oh my God. Let's
possibly the worst shape anyone who's ever been at like a professional event has ever been.
I'm so ready. Let's do this. I'm so ready to ruin my life.
I'll pick up a deck of cards.
So you brought the movie this week.
Yes, I've brought a film to this podcast.
You were going to bring the Amazon War of the Worlds, but what made you decide to bring Clue?
I was just feeling it.
Oh, you just vibes?
Because I wanted to bring a movie you might enjoy since we're doing the same week, these two recordings.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want you to have two movies, because I knew you would not like War of the Worlds.
That's fair. I liked this movie.
Yeah, it's a classic. Which ending did you get?
I got the Scarlet and the Mrs. Scarlet, who ran the brothel.
Yeah, yeah. No, last time I saw this, I got Miss Peacock.
What I did was I watched one time all the way through. So my DVD had two options if I wanted an ending at random or if I wanted to play all three.
That's good.
And so the first time I did at random, and then after that I watched the other two, like other possible endings, and they just let's show all three. And I will say, I like the Miss Scarlet one the most. It makes the most sense logically. There's the least amount of jumps, like leaps you have to make. I love that in all of them, communism is just a red herring.
I'm obsessed with this movie made like, what, during the 70s?
Something like that.
So accurately taking the piss out of the 50s. Like, there's the one scene where they're like, Wadsworth's talking about his wife, and he's like, she was friends with socialists, and everyone's like, oh my God.
We all make mistakes.
Like, it is such a perfect pastiche of that time period. So I don't like
85.
I don't like the Miss Scarlet ending because I don't want her to go to jail. I want her to marry me.
I understand. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Cat out of the bag. Miss Scarlet is the fanfic you want from this movie. Of course.
Not played by Sigourney Weaver.
No, I thought for the longest time it was Susan Sarandon.
I always look at it, I always think it's like, for the first 5 minutes, I'm always like, Sigourney Weaver.
And it's neither.
It's neither. It's her lesser known
twin. It's Madeline Kahn.
Her lesser known twin, Serenity Beaver.
Okay. Well, so we can add this to the list of movies you've brought that would have been like very important to me, maybe would have been fundamental to me as a teenager, but unfortunately I saw it as an adult, and so I can merely enjoy it.
Do you think
it.
You would have become like a detective?
I think I would have had a fate. I think I would have had like a worse phase. Because, like, I don't know. BBC Sherlock was fun, and, like, I watched it. But
instead of, like, having a Sherlock phase, you'd be going around saying, call me Colonel Mustard.
Sure. Instead of euchre,
You always have a candlestick in your bag. That's like your thing.
I always have a backpack and a box of Clue.
You guys want to play Clue?
I get to be Tim Curry.
The closest I've been to Clue in decades was that Magic the Gathering did a Clue collaboration.
What?
Yeah. They had a murder mystery set. And so since they were both owned by Hasbro, they had like Magic the Gathering Clue.
I played Clue a couple years ago at Christmas. My brother.
Was it good?
It was fun. It was fun. Neve won.
Master Detective.
So I think my least favorite ending is, if you watch the three ending, the quote-unquote canonical ending, it's actually my least favorite, where all of them were kind of in on it, committing other murders, and then, the clumsy one, Mr. Green?
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green was a fed.
And he goes, I'm going home to my wife.
I'm going, so, yeah, throughout the whole movie, he's being blackmailed because he's a homosexual.
I wasn't a fruit, I was a plant or something like that.
Yeah, or he said I was a plant, and Mrs. Scarlet goes, I think they're called fruits.
But he's being black because they're all government workers, and he's gay.
I'm going home to sleep with my wife.
Which I think they do very tastefully. They do very tasteful gay gags, like how all the guys are always staring at Yvette's tits, and he's just never doing it.
Up until the end, truly, yeah. Up until that ending, like Blackula, this kind of has, like, this has, like, really good LGBTQ representation.
It was made in 85.
Okay, this was still...
It was, but, like, that was in the
height
50s.
Of the AIDS epidemic?
50s would be insane, but you know, liberal in Hollywood making this movie, but just all the, like, who wants to go with me, Yvette, and he's like, not me. Just because everyone's that costume department fucking put so much goddamn work into Yvette's costume,
everyone's costume, but they are, yes, hers,
yeah, but she, like, those tits stay in, and she's like, like, I've worked with people in corsets before, like at the Ren Faire, and we had some tits flop out on stage once or twice. And this bitch is running up and down stairs constantly. And I'm just like, holy fuck, they did work there. That's my takeaway.
We'll talk. Okay.
Some of you work with corsets, I'm like, hot damn, they're locked in.
Everything, all of their costumes match the character.
Yeah, all their costumes are really
so
good.
Perfectly. Miss Scarlet's like, like dress that's like just showy, that just shows off enough but isn't like that ostentatious. Mrs. Peacock, who just is ostentatious and a corrupt old woman,
not a hot MILF like Scarlett.
Mrs. White, who's in all black, like she's grieving constantly. I don't remember, but does she also have the, like, veil?
She starts with the veil.
Yeah, she starts with the veil that's as if she's, like, at the funeral. And even all of the dudes, their suits are distinct enough.
I like the policeman's costume a lot, too. His little rain jacket.
Yes. I love I like the guy at the end, the Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witness turned Fed.
It's so good. So okay. The Candygram woman who's there for like a Sing Telegram woman who's there on screen for roughly 5 seconds of that.
But she had an affair with Christopher Lloyd. Or yeah. He had an affair with her.
I always forget that's Christopher Lloyd until like halfway through the movie. I'm like, is that Christopher Lloyd? It's just weird to see him with colored hair.
Let me look at. I think this was the same year as Back to the Future. This was the same year as Back to the Future. Christopher Lloyd had a bang in 1985. Oh my gosh.
He kills it in this movie.
Everyone, yes.
Yeah, everyone kills
everyone it. Everyone kills it. See, this is a movie that.
Again, even the Sing Telegram woman in her 3 seconds of being so alive.
It's so memorable.
It's so good.
This is a movie that toes the line between like parody but self-aware. But see, it never quite goes full into parody, but it toes the line between silliness, like a silly Scooby-Doo style, like the gangs trying to solve a mystery. And then there are times where like it's actually like a decent noir, like a soft noir. It's obviously not like a 40s, whatever. But this is a tight rope to. I think that's also why I don't like. I don't love either of the other two endings because I feel like they betray the tone of the movie. Mm. And Mrs. Scarlet does. She's the only ending that keeps tonally what's going on with the rest of them.
It's a very deadpan movie too.
Yes.
When two more people die and they just look in, see the person dead, just keep moving on, go to check on the other person, they're also dead, they go, they just walk away.
So this movie, let's quickly go through the plot and then we'll just pick out individual scenes we really like and like just dissect. Everyone has received a letter summoning them to this mansion on a very specific night. There are six. I can't remember off the top. There's Mustard, Scarlet, Peacock, White, Green, Christopher Lloyd.
Plum.
So, yes. Not counting the butler. So there's, yeah. It's
or
these,
the cook.
Or Mr. Body.
Or Yvette.
Or, but like people who drove, yeah. And they're all summoned. And then there's another man who goes by Mr. Body who is also summoned. And the six house guests are all being blackmailed by Mr. Body. And the whole thing was set up by Tim Curry, the butler, to turn him into the police. The lights go out, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Body is dead. He's not totally dead, but because they kill him again later, officially. But he's dead. A gun goes... So Mr. Body gives everyone...
Yeah, everyone gets a weapon. Can you imagine being the person who got the candlestick and you look over to the guy that has the gun?
I'd be so pissed. Even the pipe would be better.
Yeah, pretty much everything's better than the fucking candlestick.
Yeah, the rope is annoying, but the rope is like, usable at least. Hell, they use the rope. But...
Yeah, he's like, I have a rope and that person has a fucking knife. Like, he's like, oh, man, I want to give everyone a lethal weapon. But after knife and gun, I just kind of ran out.
Yeah, he's truly... Lead pipe. Okay, that kind of makes sense. Wrench, that's the same thing. But wrench...
A crowbar over a candlestick would work?
And you could have the double of it could pry... It could have been used to pry something. Anyway, Mr. Body gives everyone a murder weapon and a chance to kill the... Butler? I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, Mr. Body's essentially trying to outsmart everyone.
Yeah, he's like, actually, what if you kill Wadsworth instead?
And
because he has all the evidence.
And the lights go off, and the gun goes off, and Mr. Body's dead. he's later killed by the candlestick later, but no one knows who the murderer is. And over the course of the night, there are six murders. There, Yvette, the maid, the cook, I forget her name, but the cook, the...
I don't know if she gets a name.
The random broken down car house guest, the off-duty police officer, Mr. Body and the singing telegram. There are six murders over the course of the night. Three of them happen at one time. Every time a murder happens, except for the cook, the lights go out.
Yeah.
Then it's just it's Clue. It literally is just like they're playing the game Clue, but in a movie, not like Jumanji, whatever. But they're all like Scooby-Doo mystery gang.
Yeah, they're trying to solve the murder before the police get there.
Yes, and this movie is notable for having three different endings that were all distributed to different theaters. Like, different theaters got different endings so that people who went to see it on different theaters, when they come to talk about the movie, they're like, wait, that's not how it all happened. And so I think it was to boost, like, well, it was to, like, boost word of mouth, but that had to have been to boost, like, home video sales.
Yeah, I think it was also just because, you know, in the
game, to make it go see it more.
And
then
also in the game, you know, different people will die.
Sure.
Like,
there's a function to it.
Yeah.
See, I think it was like what is the, like, opportunity breeds necessity breeds opportunity or whatever.
The necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes. Like, it was like, this thing already exists within the game. Let's turn it into a marketing ploy. So the ending I got, Mrs. Scarlet was the killer. She was blackmailed because she ran a brothel that Colonel Mustard was a client of. Mrs. White's husband was a client of. Yvette was one of the prostitutes, and was Mr. Plum involved in that?
I haven't seen that ending in so long.
Yeah, that's my favorite ending. The other one of the other endings is that it was Mrs. Peacock, who was Scarlet was essentially trying to sell their government secrets.
Yeah.
But she had to kill all of the extended accomplices, but like, tie up loose ends.
Yeah,
there's an actual word for people like that, but like, tie up loose ends. Another ending is that it was Mrs. Peacock, because
she's accepting bribes from foreign governments.
And then they sing She's a Jolly Good Fellow and the Jehovah's Witnesses. In all of the three endings, the Jehovah's Witness guy at the end is the feds.
Yeah.
And then there's the last ending, which I really I like the idea of. I don't think they pull it off quite correctly, but basically everyone is involved, both separately and together. Everyone kills everyone. Wadsworth is Mr. Body. He's going to blackmail all of them continually, but then turns out Mr. Green is a plant. He's a secret fed, and he kills Wadsworth.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna go home and sleep with his wife.
Not gay. That was my cover. I sucked those dicks so they wouldn't know I was a fed.
Yeah. See, the thing with that is, why would he be blackmailing him for being gay if he wasn't? Like, there has to... Did he just invent a credible backstory?
He was in deep cover for years, getting fucked up the ass. And that's a sacrifice for our country.
See, the Miss Scarlet one, the Mrs. Peacock one makes sense.
He was a straight man in the 50s, engaged in sodomy for the good of his country. No, that is where it falls apart. Is like, was it like deep cover? Was he?
Or was it just a rumor? And yeah, because Wadsworth was he was paying blackmail.
Yeah, it's part of the cover. In my service for my country, I get fucked up the ass and spend vast amounts of money.
So anyway, the Miss Scarlet ending is the best ending. It's the one that makes the most sense, and it's the one that tonally matches the movie. If this movie got made today, I think they would battleship it. They would take it way too seriously and not understand that it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's a poor
game. Or we do live in a post Barbie world. If I think it depends on who the creative team
Barbie's
is.
I think Barbie's a flash in the pan.
You do?
Yeah, I think not necessarily that won't happen again, but I think that is just because of a very specific person making the movie. I don't think it's representative of the industry as a whole.
Sure.
Like, if they announced a Candyland movie tomorrow, it would be Game of Thrones.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about this movie is that it really, this movie kind of breaks a lot of storytelling conventions, where this movie is really just, and then, not really even because of then this happens, so because this happened. They don't do
people
even,
are just dying left and right.
And then the cop, the off-duty cop shows up.
And then the cop dies, and then this guy shows up. Like there's a reason why they're so numb to like the fourth kill. It's because people are
that the Yvette kill when they walk into that room and you just see the tired look on everyone's face.
Because there is no because. All they just keep people are dying and they don't know why. And they're just like, okay.
Everyone plays that so well. That really is that this movie is like and then
at that point they had to make out with corpses. Like,
see, even that has a because, but there was nothing leading up to
they had to mislead the police officer,
but there was no reason that the dude's car broke down. He wasn't invited to the place.
He was.
Oh, is he being blackmailed?
He maybe just for the peacock ending. I know he says that he worked for one of them.
Okay,
because before he's killed, he's like, the weirdest thing is that my old boss is here, and then he gets whacked.
Oh, he was one of the informants.
Yeah, then. Like every single person that dies, including the cop, because the cop's bribed by Miss Scarlet, is connected to something.
But not revealed until the end.
Yeah.
But like, if you're watching the movie with the knowledge you have up until that point.
People show up and they die the cop shows up and he's like looking around the house, so they have to pretend that everyone's fucking. So they're like kissing corpses and shit. And he's like, there's nothing wrong with this. It's America. It's the land of the free.
It's the hippie 50s, baby.
See, the secret is he knew that it was corpses. He was just like, yeah, it's cool. I'm not going to judge you for what you do.
Oh, so in your head, he knew.
He 100% knew that they're dead people. He's like, whatever, man. We just 10 years ago, we killed the Nazis. What are we going to do whatever the fuck we want? Dig up your grandma.
By the time the Jehovah's Witness guy answers the door, it's what, the fourth or fifth time someone randomly has gone to the door? Where I was like, I thought this was like a secluded place. Like,
people just keep showing up.
And tonight of all nights. Also, depending on what ending you get, Mr. Body is Mr. Body, and Yvette, the cook, the breakdown, the off-duty cop, the off-duty cop was always being paid by Miss Scarlet, and then the telegram girl was was still an informant because she informed Body about the affair for Mr. Plum.
Yeah.
They were all informants somehow, except I don't remember if the cop was or if he was just like, he knew too much and he had to go.
I think he was just... He knew about the brothel.
Except in one ending where Wadsworth is Mr. Body for no... Like,
yeah, I don't like that ending.
I don't like that ending at all. It's one of those that it could... I get the idea, and it could have been really good.
Wadsworth works best as a character when... Like, if there's going to be a reveal, he's like, I work for Herbert Hoover.
Wadsworth works best when he's half a step ahead of everyone else. Not when he's the mastermind behind everything. Mm-hmm. When Wadsworth is the audience who gets something... like right before it's about to happen. There was another movie we watched where the guy at the very end went on this grand, like, let me explain everything before everything happens, that we've watched, and I can't remember what it was, where they have the Tim Curry scene where he's like going through everything. All that to say, the Tim Curry scene, my favorite kill is probably also, we probably have the same answers just for slightly different or for similar reasons. Mine just aren't as horny. But my favorite scene is the end when Tim Curry's like running across the whole manor, just like relaying everything that basically the last 90 minutes of the movie just watched.
Yeah, they do, like the last third of the movie is them recapping the previous two thirds of the movie as the cast just desperately tries to follow Tim Curry around, but the man's just too darn fast.
And they get so annoyed by the it's like, split it up. When he turns off the light and turns it back on, it's like, I hate when he does
that. And he just keeps beating up Mr. Green too. Like, anytime he has to beat someone up to make a point,
yes,
He just assaults this man to the point that the guy's like jumping out of the way towards the end when he comes near him. That, of course, is to show you that Wadsworth is a huge homophobe.
Is he, though?
Look, if you keep beating up the same guy and that's the only gay guy, like imagine you go to a murder mystery, right? Or you're trying to solve a murder and the detective is walking you through how it's done and he keeps acting out like the acts of violence that were done, right? And he keeps just beating up the only black person in the room. You're going to be like, is he racist? Why not Professor Plum? Why not Colonel Mustard, who's probably more ready to take hits having been in the military?
I saw it more as his accident proneness than his like femininity.
It was a targeted hate crime on the part of Wadsworth. That, of course, is to hint that he's working for Herbert Hoover.
This is the type of movie that I kind of hate that I watched it as an adult because I don't get to have that like moment where that becomes my personality for a couple weeks.
I don't know.
Like, I would love, I would just,
you would, would love to have a clue face.
I would just adopt Tim Curry. I would just be Wadsworth like for like a couple weeks.
Oh god, that would be awful. You can just do it now.
But
no one can stop. If anything,
no, but I don't want to. The thing is, I don't want
to
have
to start wearing a suit to fucking work and be like, it's my Tim Curry impression.
Okay.
Yeah. Smashing. And then you can, like, at work, you can, like, stage murders. You can bring in, like, body dummies and stage murders and lead all your coworkers around explaining how the murders were done. Everyone will love this.
I actually don't have a lot to say other than this movie's really fun. I don't have a lot to say about it. It's not really a movie you can dissect.
There's not a lot of meat. There's a lot of, like, beat-by-beat comedy things, which aren't funny if we repeat them.
There's no, like, deep philosophical notion. Like, there's, like, nothing really we can, like, grab onto this. Thank you for bringing it. Like,
yeah,
I liked the movie, but I don't really have...
You have a chance to do a clue face. You clock in. You turn to everyone. There's been a murder, you say, because the previous night you broke in and hid bodies everywhere. And then you're like, who did this? And like, people are trying to do their job. They're like, Harrison. You're like, my name's Wadsworth. And we're going to solve a fucking murder right now. And then you have a little boombox you set up and it plays the music that plays when he's running around. Like, do, 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 do.
More than any other movie, I think this is not my favorite soundtrack, but more where like the soundtrack feels so connected to the movie.
But you have his running soundtrack, music, when he's running around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you just have that constantly playing. You're running around with your boombox, dragging coworkers, pointing at like blow up dolls you dressed in different costumes to represent dead people. And then you're like, and you like reach into an oven, a candlestick. I think this would be really fun for everyone right now. And you should do it.
Okay.
And then this will show up in the Euchre movie.
This is a scene of the Euchre movie? All right.
Which show all the things you did before you got into Euchre full time, like your comedy, your movie making. Your clue face.
And on that note, I guess
you can just make Geneva call you Wadsworth.
No,
right?
I'm not doing that.
Why just be like, can you call me Wadsworth for a few weeks, honey? I'd really appreciate. I'm really sad. I didn't see this movie when I was a kid. I want to live my best Wadsworth dream right now. So if you could like pretend to be dead sometimes, so I could solve your murder and also exclusively refer to me as Wadsworth.
And on that note, enough of this failed dissection. Final thoughts. Watch this movie. It's really fun. Don't expect some masterpiece. It's not. I haven't rated this on Letterboxd yet because I just finished it. I just finished the other endings. I'm probably going to give this like a 3, 3.5. I liked it. It's just like it's a dumb, silly movie. Yeah. Final thoughts. Watch it or don't. Your life isn't going to be changed.
It. I don't know. The scars really got it going on, you know? I think more than Yvette. I think they really sexualize Yvette more.
Yes.
But Miss Scarlet's clearly the prize there. Because, like, Yvette's like a fun one night, right? But, like, Scarlet's going to be like a reliable partner long term. She's a strong woman. She's not going to let people push you around.
Well, Yvette's still young yet. Like, Yvette, I don't know. Yvette will grow in. Yvette will probably grow into a Miss Scarlet.
Date MILFs, not teens. That's what I always say.
I agree with that. There's a, I forget who it was, but there's a tweet I saw from a comedian where it's like, I'm so happy when I hit the age where my brain bisects, I went with MILF and not kids. Like,
that will be some, we will have some new merch on the store.
Date MILFs, not teens.
Yeah, it's Marvin saying it.
Date MILFs, not teens.
There he is! There's Marvin the Movie Walrus, our long-standing mascot from episode one. Welcome back!
Do you want to do socials?
Of course I do, Marvin! Oh, we love this guy. Harrison's left the room because he hates Marvin so much. But we're joined by Marvin now.
What have our lives become?
I'm just picturing you look over and there's a walrus. You like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I hate him. I hate Marvin. You storm him out. Fuck! Can't work like this. It's fucking walrus. They gave him a microphone. It's bullshit.
Do socials.
You know, truly, you know, final thoughts on life. Find a reason to laugh every day. You know, find a little bit of joy. People think that, like, to live a joyful, laughy life, you have to, like, really strive. But no, you don't. It's really simple to be happy. You just gotta keep bringing up a drunk walrus you ordered once. And every minute of your life will be filled with joy and light. That's the kingdom of God. But yeah, if you wanna send me Miss Scarlet fan fiction... Two-Man Movie Podcast.
That's Instagram. The kingdom of God. But if you want to send me fucking MILF porn fanfic.
Look, dude, when I look at Angela White, I see the love of Christ.
Okay.
And you know, it's a similar to Miss Scarlet thing, where it's not so much her tits as the fact that she's just Australian. I love an accent.
Please end this episode.
So yeah, if you want to send me a Scarlet fan fiction or just follow updates, Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram. Don't send those on Instagram. I don't know why I'm repping that. If you want to actually send the fanfic, that's twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. That's not just a fanfic dump site. You can also email us anything you want.
Movie suggestions.
Yeah, don't feel obligated to only use that for fanfiction. We do accept any communication through that.
Sponsorship opportunities.
Also, you can just email us applications for the Amazonian Guards so that we can protect our friend Harrison here at Euchre Tournaments. You can find us on YouTube. You can find me at Midwest_Magician.
You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at HarrisonPool.com.
This is every time we do two recordings in a week.
That's HarrisonPooledotcom, HarrisonPool.com. Or you can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Tune in next week. It will be 2 weeks for us, but next week for you guys, where you're going to inform us how your MCR concert went.
Yeah.
And then we're going to watch probably Moonwalkers. I haven't decided.
I'm going to regale you with my adventures in Boston. I'm hoping to find a fine Boston lass. I'm gonna go down and like stand at the bay with a car battery until a strong young lass comes up to me and asks if I need help throwing it into the bay.
Hopefully it's as eventful as your last trip to Philly, where you experienced Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping. I have a person who like spent a lot of time there growing up, so hopefully I won't get lost in a Chinatown situation.
But thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Make sure you listen to his bands, Tonight with Vince and Natural Health. Thank you guys for listening. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.